Have your Bibles, Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14 today. Trust that God's been speaking to you through the Word as you spend time in the Word with Him, wherever His Spirit is leading you. And I trust that He's been speaking to you in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 as we've journeyed through the Sermon on the Mount. I'm going to talk today. I'm calling the title of the message "Road Inspection." But I'm going to share something with you. I want you to journey with me in your mind to that time that Jesus sat on the hillside by the lake. He just unpacked everything that we've listened to in Matthew 5 and 6 and now 7. I mean, he gave a message that generation had never heard ever. They'd never heard anything like it. Matter of fact, it'll say at the end of the chapter 7, they were amazed. They were blown away that they had heard such a word. And when you think about it, I mean, you sit by that hillside and he begins to shape everything that he is and who his people in their character would reflect. He is that king with all authority that kind of lays out the character of those that belong to him. And he starts with those beautiful beatitudes. First, that we're reminded that we're depraved. We're lost. We're desperate. We are dead in our trespasses and sin in the eyes of God. We have no hope apart from him. Then he says, blessed are those who mourn. You understand your depravity and then you're broken over it. You're sorrowful. You're sorry that it ever happened and you want to do something about it to make sure that it doesn't keep you separated from God. So he unpacks the character of those belong to him. Then he talks about those that belong to him to help a world that's decaying and dying and separated from him. He then begins to speak to that crowd saying, now you're salt and light. You are the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. You're the preservation. Those who follow me will be a part of the preservation process of bringing hope to a world that is separated from me. A people who are depraved. A people that live in sin but can understand that there is a way. God has provided a way. There is salvation for sin. Your sin problem. Then he goes to unpack, because all that this generation had heard was laws and laws and men's opinion on top of laws. And that became the tradition. That became the standard that he says, look, unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees, you're not a part of the plan. You're not a part of the kingdom. Kingdom people have righteousness that's different from all these laws and this junk that has been piled on you. He presented relentless examples of what this surpassing righteousness looks like. This is one of the toughest messages for people to hear. We have spent weeks and months going through this, and it hasn't been easy. Because when you wrestle with what Jesus is talking about in Matthew 5 and 6 and 7, it is life-changing. It's hard to hear, but it's necessary to have. And he said, unless you don't get here, you're going to be just like the Pharisees. You're going to live under a law and men's opinions. You're going to live under that fact that you've been told. But I'm telling you something different. I'm telling you and I'm speaking to you and challenging you to rise above that thinking to a different standard, a kingdom standard, the standard of the King, the one who came and died for you. He gave specific instructions about giving, praying, fasting, on materialism, about work, about wrongly judging others, and about prayer. And last week he capped it off with going back to prayer Ask and it will be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open. If you understand the context of the Sermon on the Mount, he's taking you back to Matthew 6 when he's at, how should we pray? This is how you should pray. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. If we ask, seek, and knock according to his will, he goes through, we see it through the Gospels. Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. That challenge was brought up right to there. And just as you and I were sitting there, we heard it. We were brought right there. And now he gets to the closure. He gets to a motivational application. He's going to start a journey using three metaphors. The gate, fruit, and a foundation. To basically say, are you now wanting to be here? Are you wanting to be where I am? Are you wanting to be what I've asked you to become? Do you want this type of character? He's changing the conversation now. And the conversation is, you make a choice. You've heard everything that I've said. You've heard that what you tried to live under and what they told you you needed to do. You've heard me say, but I tell you. But I tell you. But I tell you. Now he's asking people to make a choice. And he comes to Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14, and it says, enter through the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. That word enter, that first word of that passage that we just look at there, it's a command. It's a command. It's a command that he's extending from that day throughout all generations for people to hear his voice and to respond. So I would ask you today, up until this time, have you heard the voice of the Lord? Has it been clear to you about what he said, about where you are, and what he desires, and what he expects from those that belong to him? The life that we now lead, live, and breathe in this body is all about him. He brings that command and that challenge to enter through the narrow gate. You see, everyone who lives in life is going to come up to a crossroad when they're confronted with the truth of God's Word. And at that crossroad, if you can envision that in your mind, a crossroad goes two ways. And there's one way you can go, and there's another way you can go. And now Jesus is saying, realizing that there are two ways that a person can go. They can go the way of self, or they can go the way of Him, Christ. And now He's saying, you're coming up to that place, you've come to that crossroad, and now what I'm saying to you is enter through the narrow gate. So what he begins to describe here upon that command, he says there's two gates, right? There's two roads, and there's two destinies. This point is pretty simple. Not a whole lot to unpack here this morning. Pretty simple. He says you enter through what? The narrow gate. Two gates. Narrow and broad. Let's talk first about the narrow gate. The narrow gate is a gate that is restricted. The broad gate is one that's unrestricted. The narrow gate is kind of like a turnstile that you have to go through to go get on the subway or some places like entertainment venue. Anybody been through a turnstile? You know what I'm talking about? You hit that bar and it spins. You know what I'm talking about? Or it could be like the TSA line at an airport. The narrow gate is narrow. And I love what Alexander McLaren, that preacher about 100 years ago, said. He said that the narrow gate is so narrow that the two posts are the post of the first and second beatitude, the post of depravity and the post of sorrow. And the only way you're going to go through that gate is you've got to pass through the recognition of your depravity and the fact that you mourn and sorrow the fact that you've sinned against God. And Jesus is saying, go enter through the narrow gate. But as you go through the narrow gate, realize that it's restricted. Only one can come through it at a time. You got to go through it by yourself. You can't go through it with somebody else. You can't carry your heritage with you through that gate. You can't take even your spouse with you through that gate. You've got to go by yourself to go through that gate. And that gate is restrictive. It's just you that can make the choice of going through that gate. Because on the other side of that gate, there's a road that fits that gate. Now the broad gate, it's unrestricted. It's wide as a cattle gate. You open that up and people just kind of flood through it. Kind of what like religion can do. Religion can make a lot of people happy. It gives them what they really want and need. And if you got enough religion with you, if you got all that is provided with that, there's a lot of people that want to go through believing and acting upon the same thing, living the same way, doing what makes them feel satisfied. So that gate's broad and it has no restrictions. You can carry baggage through it. There's the point. You could carry your religious baggage. You can carry your heritage. You can take your what you believe and what you want. You can take it through the broad gate. But you can't do that through narrow. It's tight. It's got, I love what McLaren said, it's got the post. Depravity and sorrow. You got to recognize your depravity, that you have sinned against the holy God and you need to repent. You're sorrowful of the fact that you've done that. And you got to do that by yourself. And only by doing that do you enter through the narrow gate. Ladies and gentlemen, we got too many people sitting in churches in America that have gone through a broad gate. And Jesus said, I'm commanding you now, based upon everything I've told you about what it means to belong to me and have my heart and to understand the character of not only me, but what I desire for those that belong to me in my kingdom. If you're going to make that choice now, it's not a broad gate. It's not like the gate of your past. It's not like the gate that all the Pharisees and the scribes have tried to paint. It's a narrow gate. It's a narrow gate. John 10:9. What does Jesus say in John 10:9? Somebody look that up. Read it. JP, go ahead, bud. Jesus said what? I'm the gate. The narrow gate is Jesus. The broad gate is anything that we think we need that's right in our own eyes to try to be right in God's eyes. And there's only one gate that's right in God's eyes. JP just read it. Jesus said, I am the gate. If you enter into that, what are you going to find? Life. The life that He desires for you. So you see in this passage, Jesus said, I'm commanding you to enter the narrow gate because it's the best gate. Now the broad gate looks great. It's everything that kind of satisfies you humanly speaking many times. And if religion is a part of that, what religion does is it gives you enough one moment during the week to satisfy your desires so that you can go about doing what you want and then you can turn around and come back and get a little more of that to satisfy you so you can turn around and do what you want to get a little bit more about what satisfies you so you can turn around and do what you want. Jesus said, the narrow gate's me. Now, two roads. There's a narrow and there's a broad. On the other side of those gates, they're like an on-ramp to a highway. The broad gate is a broad road. It's like a major interstate. It's got all kinds of lanes. If you want to drive down the lane of promiscuity, it's on the broad road. If you want to drive down the road of stealing from others and deceiving them that they don't even know about, it's on the broad road. If you want to drive down the road of being a person who does whatever, pornography, you just go down the list, drugs, whatever, it's on the broad road. That there is a road for that. It's called the road to self. And because it's a road to self, there's so much there because of our selfishness and our sin that that road is broad and it has a lot of stuff on it. And because of our sin problem and our sin nature, the Bible says there are many on that road. There are many. But the narrow road, it's narrow. There's some that say, you know, Christianity is nothing but narrow-minded. You're right, it is. You're right. You're a Christian, you're just narrow-minded. You're right, I am. Because there's only one way. There's only one truth. And there's only one life. So you bet your bottom dollar, Christianity is narrow. And we are narrow-minded because everything about life as a true Christ follower is about the one who died for us. And nothing else matters. And that road is a road that we travel that's narrow. It is confined about what the King desires for us to live as those who committed our lives to follow Him. If you love me, John 14, 15 says, you will obey me and do what I command. Pretty simple there, right? Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? Oh, that you love the Lord God with all your being, all your heart, everything, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength. You see, that road is narrow. It's like a mountain road. Ever driven on a mountain road and your wife says to you, be careful. You're getting close to that edge. It's pretty narrow. Woo! That road is narrow because it's been defined by the one who understands what we need in life to live and travel on that road. And the Bible says, how many find it? Few. You know what I'm hoping this morning? I'm hoping for everyone that's sitting in this room that you've entered the narrow gate and you're on the narrow road. That you have done that personally in your life, in your heart, There was a time in your life that you could say, I truly surrendered my life to the one who died for me. And I chose to turn from the lifestyle that I was living, the person that I was, and I gave my life to the one who gave it all, who died for me, who paid my penalty, my sin penalty, which is death. He paid. My hope for everyone in this room is that you have entered through that gate with Him. And that you haven't made up in your mind based upon what you've known and what you've learned and experienced in this world that you have gone through a broad gate where so many have. Religion has kept people, good people, from getting on the narrow road. And I'm just hoping and praying from this moment, this minute, this time on, that everyone in this place knows Jesus personally, that they've come up and they've said, I alone am entering through this gate. I am entering into a life with Jesus Christ. That's what he was asking the people on that hillside. Have you done that? Two gates. Two roads. Two destinies. Two destinies. The narrow road, going through the narrow gate, and on the narrow road, gives what? Life. That's why Jesus said in John 10:10, I have come that you might have life. And that you might have it what? Abundantly. He said, wait a minute here. I'm on a narrow road. How's that abundant? Well, when you're on the road with the one who owns it all, the one who spoke it into being, the one that he decides whatever he wants to do, it happens. I'll take that road. How about you? That's life. That's the life he's talking about. It's the life that's found in him. And it's eternal. Not only is it abundant on this side of heaven, but it's eternal. Wait a minute. So you're telling me if I get on that narrow road, I'll have the best of all that there is in life? Yes and no. Because if you look at really what the word narrow means, it means it's constricted. It means there's going to be just trouble. It means there's going to be sometimes distress. Well, wait a minute here. Now, you've been describing this narrow road's great, but now it doesn't sound like it. That's why Jesus would say in John 16:33, in this world you'll have trials and tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome. You see, even on that narrow road, even when there's trouble and we get troubled and there's distress, he's the overcomer. He's the one that continues to guide us down the road. And at the end of that road is what? Not only do you have life with him as we travel in this, I found life, I get to travel with him in this life, what happens after my life's over? You eternally or in his presence. Anybody know what eternally means? What's that? It has no time limit. There's no time limit. To be with him in perfection. To one day, man, I wouldn't want you to get saved because I say this. But just think about this. Have you ever wondered what perfection looks like? Had you ever wondered that when Adam and Eve walked the earth before they were deceived and they sinned, what that looked like? I have. Man, I'm curious. I'm curious. What does that look like? Well, those that belong with Him that have entered through the narrow gate and travel the narrow road, at the end of that, they have life. They have life in Him now. They have life eternal. Eternity has already started with Him. Oh, you mean that doesn't just happen when I die? No. Your eternal state and destiny is already settled when you're entered the narrow gate and you're on the narrow road. And one day, you'll see the perfection of what all that looks like outside of a world that was sin-filled. Now, doesn't that excite you a little bit? It's okay to say, yeah. It's okay to say, hallelujah. It's okay to say, amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, yeah. Get excited. It's something to get excited about. It's perfection in Him when we are with Him forever and ever and ever and ever. And you know what? If we're going to live a jillion, big, big, whatever years, whatever that is, in a little trial and tribulation, worth it for Him? We're coming up on Easter, and when you think about what He endured for you and I, in the little trial and tribulation on that road until He takes us home, isn't it worth it for Him? Yeah, you bet it is. But at the end of that narrow road is life. Life, life, life. And I want to be an encourager this morning. You might be here today and say, you know, I don't feel like I have abundant life right now. My back hurts, which mine does. I just don't feel real good. I've got, you know, people just, they're mean to me. Or, hey, that's temporal. Everybody knows what temporal is. Short. In the scheme of short. Very, 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 very. So no matter what you feel like you're experiencing, and if you feel like everything's against you, you've got life when you've gone and walked that road with Jesus. You've got everything you need in life. That's exciting. Now, the broad. What's it say that road does? What's the end result? Destruction. And that's why Jesus is saying, enter the narrow. Come through this gate. You hear my voice. You might have admired what I've said there on the hillside. You might be intrigued. But now I'm telling you to move beyond the admiration and now move to application. This is what's best for you. This is what you need. Because the broad, if you stay on that road where many are, the end result of it is you're not going to have life. You're going to have a life that ends in destruction. And when it's all said and done, when you die without Christ, without walking that narrow road, and living and following Him, hell is your destiny. Hell is a place where people go that are separated from a holy God. It's a place that's horrible. It's a place that's, the Bible describes as fiery. It's awful. It's every place you don't want to be. That's what hell is, because God's not there. That's hell enough. The reason I didn't get into the descriptions about how hot it is or what, it's hell enough that you'll never be near a God who created you ever again, ever have a chance. That's what hell is. And the torment that goes along with that, it's just added on. But the greatest torment, I believe, is you're separated from God. That's what happens to people that says, I'll do it my way. That's your highway. And when you end at that highway, you're gone away from the presence of God. You might be here today saying, I'm grateful I'm not on that Broadway. I would echo that. Amen. But I would also say this. If we're not on the Broadway, our task is to help get people on the narrow way. And if we're not helping people to get on the narrow way, we're not being faithful to the King who told us to be salt and light. Because you don't want your worst enemy, if you have one. You don't want the person that annoys you or pesters you the worst in life to travel down the Broadway. You don't wish for anybody that at the end of their life they are totally separated from God for all eternity in a place of torment and misery and pain for all eternity. That's why the church is mobilized as an agency, if you may, of the King. And each one of us are agents, servants of the agency, the church, to do His kingdom work. And His will is that none should perish, but all should come to repentance. His will is that everyone would be saved and no one would be lost. His will is that people would see Him as the only gate. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. He's the only way. Jesus plus doesn't work. That's why Galatians is in the New Testament. Jesus plus doesn't work. There are not many ways to a relationship with the Father. Oh, that's narrow-minded in today's world. Ooh, wow. Did he just say that? No, I didn't say it. Jesus said it. And we need to be the people that believe that. And if we're the people that say, I'm on the narrow way, we need to be the people to help people get off of Broadway and get on narrow way. Now, only a few will find it. I'm taking him at his word. But thank God it's a few. Thank God I'm a few. Hopefully, thank God you're a few. I mean, you think about it. Aren't you glad? Few and many, we get that concept, right? Right? Think about something that you had in life, you know? Let's just go back to something we all enjoy, candy. You know what a few candy looks like, and you know what many looks like. You see that picture. Well, in this context, this idea, think about, you are one of the few. For God so loved you, and you found. You understood. The Spirit spoke, and you responded. You entered through the gate with the post of depravity and sorrow and said, it's no longer I who live, but Christ. And the life that I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Galatians 2:20. We don't want people never to go down Broadway. We don't even want people who are thinking that religion is the answer, who might even show up in this place on a Sunday, to not find narrow way. Just because people come to church, just because somebody visits a church, doesn't mean they're on narrow way. That's why it's important to ask. And this is an American thing. Your Christianity is not private. Your religion is private. But your Christianity is not private. Our American thought process and lifestyle has convinced people that what I believe, that's just my business. That is not the king's heart. The king's heart would be, give a reason for the hope that is within you. The king's heart would be, build each other up, hold each other accountable. The king would even want us to ask, tell me about the time in your life when you entered narrow gate and got on narrow road. Oh, that's private. No, it's not. His agenda is not private. His agenda is public. And our Americanism is the broad way. That's religious thinking. That's the religious way. So we got to get over that. We just didn't do that in my house. Will you do it in his house? I'm sorry. We've got to grow up in many ways. We've got to have the mind of Christ. His attitude, his heart. And it's at this moment, as he's been talking, he stops and says, enter through the narrow gate. That's the best of the best of the best. There's nothing more better. Get on the narrow road. Have life. Life in Christ. And what he was doing is what Moses, let me see if I can find the scripture here. Moses said to the people in Deuteronomy 30:19, I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore choose life that you and your offspring may live. He's doing the same thing that Moses did generations before him. And then right after Moses' contemporary Joshua comes along. He said, choose this day in Joshua 24:15 whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers, Broadway, served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell, Broadway. But as for me and my house, I'm going through that narrow gate. And I'm going to walk down and live that narrow road. He's just calling what those behind him have asked people to do for centuries. Choose. Choose. And Jesus is asking us even today to choose. Choose this day whom you will serve. Have you done that? Now hear me. Don't hide behind, if this hasn't happened in your life, what someone else will think. Your destiny hangs in the balance. If this isn't something that you've experienced personally, it's not come through the narrow gate and living on the narrow road. If it's something that you haven't committed personally, that I have turned from sin to follow Christ, then there is no shame for you to do what is exactly important for you in regards to what Jesus did for you and He wants you to do in your life. This could be your day of salvation. This day. And Jesus is asking, just like he did on that hillside, he's asking here today, choose. Make the choice to enter through the gate. I am the gate. I am the gate. If you want life, I'm the gate. Take off your baggage. Take off your thoughts and philosophies, what you've known, what you believed is right. Enter through the narrow gate. Enter through the narrow gate. But don't let the baggage of the world, don't let your ideas about life and the way that you choose to live keep you from going through that narrow gate, because you will not like the end result, and there will be nothing that you can do about it when that time comes. I don't mean to scare you, but what I'm trying to do is challenge you to truth. And with this truth, you have to respond. The future of your life is dependent upon what you do with Jesus now. Now. And part of that, man, I've been around for a while. I've known people who've made a commitment to Christ, but even something as simple as baptism. Well, I was baptized as a child. Well, I don't really know. No. That's why we talk about believer's baptism. The Bible says repent and be baptized. It doesn't say baptize and be repentant. It says repent and then be baptized. What does baptism do? Baptism is a picture that you entered through the gate. It's no longer I who live, but Christ. I'm dead. I've been buried in my trespasses and sins. But then I recognize Jesus died for me. And he was put in a tomb. He was put in a tomb. But on Sunday morning, that stone had been rolled back from that tomb. And he came out of that tomb to show everyone, to show all hell, to show Satan, no longer does death because of sin have a hold on you. I came to conquer sin and death. And those that belong to me, they are alive in me. That's why it's important that we celebrate when people are baptized. And it's important for us to say, be baptized, because it is a picture of what has taken place in your life. I'm one of those pastors, I just love when we baptize, because it's a time to celebrate. It's a time to, I'll use the expression, hoop and holler. It's not a time to be staunch. Isn't that nice? No, it's a time to say, woohoo! I actually had a bunch of new babies in Christ that showed me about that. When I planted it outside of Buffalo, New York, we had a baptism at a school pool. I'm back in there getting prepared to come out with the candidates that we had. And the first thing they were doing the wave in the bleachers. You know, because they were sitting in the bleachers, which was okay, you know. But every person we put in the water, and they cried and screamed. They celebrated. Why? Because he got wet? No. Phew. They went through the narrow gate. They chose to be on the narrow road. Have you been obedient to that command? Choose this day. Choose. If you're not on the narrow road, give your life to Christ today. I want to encourage you. The worship team's going to come in just a moment. As they lead us, if you haven't done that, with no shame at all, just say, man, I want the best of the best. I choose Jesus. Come and talk to me. Please. You say, is this one of them invitations? Yes, it is. Doesn't kill anybody, believe me. I've never seen anybody die during an invitation. Actually, I've seen a lot of life. If you're on the narrow road and you say, I know this. I've entered through that gate. But you know what? My characters, we've gone through this, man. I haven't been reflecting the King who died for me. Maybe it's a time you just need to come and just pray. Maybe it's the commitment of baptism. Yeah, I surrender, but I need to be baptized. We need to be obedient in this matter to do whatever Jesus is asking us to do. This is an important moment. Somebody's eternity could stand in the balance right here today. And if you're one of those here today that say, I've entered the narrow gate, I'm on the narrow road, and I love my Jesus, and praise God. But pray. Pray that somebody's not there here today will get there. Pray. This is the most important thing that we do. This is why we do what we do. This is why we gather. This is why we mobilize. It's for this. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to ask the worship team to come. And then let's just respond to Jesus in His name. Father, we believe through the power and work of the Holy Spirit, the same power that on Sunday morning, resurrection morning, opened that tomb and brought Jesus out of the grave. We believe today that the power of the Holy Spirit that convicted us of our sins and compelled us to enter through the narrow gate, to live on the narrow road, is the same power that is prevalent at work here today. We believe that the Holy Spirit will speak and is speaking, and we believe that there will be a response from those that are being spoken to today. So we trust you, and we want to be obedient to you. Help none of us to be a hindrance to you. Help us to be a blessing to you today. So we're encouraging now, Father. Whatever you're choosing to do, if someone needs to enter into a relationship with Christ, we pray at this moment this will be the day of their salvation. We pray if someone needs to follow you in believer's baptism, this will be the day that they commit to that. We believe that if you're asking us to be more energetic and useful in getting others off of Broadway and on the narrow way, that you'll convict and show us that that's what we need to do. Lord, I'm just asking right now. It's in your hands. Have your way. Have your way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.